And time now for the Chatham County Roundup, presented by Weaver Street Realty, specializing in local real estate since 1982. Every story is set somewhere. Theirs is right here. Find them online at weaverstreetrealty.com. Today, we are talking sports. We're joined on the phone by Chapel Fowler, sports reporter for the Chatham News and Record. ChathamNewsRecord.com is the website. Chapel, thank you so much for being with us today. How are you?
Hey, doing well, Aaron. Thanks for having me back. It's been a while, but happy to be here, and I'm enjoying this really quick summer to winter weather. Wearing my crew neck collection for the first time in a few months.
We were talking about this earlier uh-huh. today in the newsroom. We're in fake fall right now, apparently, because it's fake fall, and then it jumps back to summer for a little while, and then we get actual fall, and then there's a couple more seasons, and then winter hits in like December, January, but. It's always kind of weird to know. Yeah, it's North Carolina, right? So obviously not as much sports happening right now as there usually would be, but still a lot of stuff to cover. And one really interesting story in particular that you published recently that I know has gotten a lot of feedback and a lot of discussion. A really, really good story in the Chatham News Record about Albert Talley, who's a Chatham resident, passed away recently, but a super fan for the Tar Heel baseball team. And just a really terrific story about his life and the connection that he had with the Diamond Heels for decades, right?
Yeah, well, first of all, thanks for your kind words and for reading. But yeah, Albert is a Chatham County lifer, and probably about 1998 or so, basically whenever Mike Fox took over as UNC mm-hmm. baseball's head coach, Albert and his son started going to games, and kind of the reason they called on is because they actually went on a road trip to Charlottesville, Virginia. UNC was playing UVA in a weekend series there, and they were the only family there that didn't have someone on the team. They were the only fans to show up, and that really to the team, that meant a lot. And over the next 20 years, Albert became their number one super fan, undisputed. He also developed a really good relationship with Mike Fox, the head coach, a lot of the assistants, a lot of the parents, a lot of the wives, and he kind of became an institution. When I talked to Mike Fox for this story, who was great, super awesome interview, just talking about his friend, he said, like, without a doubt, I think Albert made our team better, you know. And that was less on the field, of course, but just kind of the intangibles, the idea of, as Mike put it, like, whenever you see Albert, it's hard to have a bad day. So he was a very present fan. He went everywhere, he traveled everywhere, he mostly drove everywhere. As I put in the story, he would go to Notre Dame, Miami. He drove to Omaha. Car rides were like part of the fun for him. But yeah, he was absolutely an institution there. And if anyone listening, if you've been to a UNC baseball game, you've probably either seen him or like been near him at mm-hmm. some point, because he sat right down there by the catcher's mound. And he probably, there were some seasons where he didn't miss a game, is what Mike Fox said. And, you know, baseball seasons are 60, 70 games long. So he was there all the time. And I could definitely tell from talking to Mike that he was going to be missed by yeah. the UNC baseball community. But yeah, really, really great story. And super happy that Mike and Albert's son, Kevin, gave me the time to put it together.
And I know I've spoken with another Tar Heel baseball super fan, Tom Jensen. He's on with us every Thursday talking mm-hmm. Public opinion polling, but we get into baseball sometimes. And he really talks about the extent to which it's not just the idea of the Tar Heel baseball team isn't just necessarily what you see on the field and the wins and the losses and the stats. It's also just that kind of family that develops around the team and in the stands. And I know Albert and his family was a part of that family too.
Yeah. I mean, you hear the phrase Carolina family, and not just for UNC basketball, but, you know, I think every athletic team at the university tries to embody that. And I think Albert was definitely a really strong example of that. They one of their running jokes that his son Kevin told me is, you know, every year there's a senior ceremony and the players say their goodbyes, the parents say their goodbyes. And every year the seniors' parents would come up to Albert and Kevin and be like, oh my gosh, this is so sad, guys. Like, I'm sorry we have to leave you behind. It's been so great getting to know you. And their running joke back was like, you need to can it because we go through this every single year, you know, because they're there with every single set of senior parents for 20 years. So that kind of became their running joke with the families. But I think it's also, again, just kind of emblematic to what Albert meant to the program. You know, whenever I first saw this story because the UNC baseball Twitter account had tweeted something about it in early August, and someone had replied mentioning that not only was Albert a super fan of UNC baseball, but he was also, you know, a Chatham Central graduate, which tied it to Chatham County. And on that original tweet, if you go to, you know, who all has interacted with it, quote tweet wise, it's just like, you know, MLB starter here, MLB starter
Oh
there,
man.
Andrew Miller, the Seegers, like all these guys are sending their well wishes. And he knew those guys, but he also knew, as Kevin put it, like the third string walk-on catcher. Like he treated all the guys the same, and I think they all appreciated him for that.
Speaking with Chapel Fowler, ChathamNewsRecord.com, the website to get online and read this story and other sports stories also from Chatham County, including one just in the last few days about Jake Mann, who's a football player for Northwood High School, but now headed to Florida State, right?
Yeah, and that's a rarity in this county for people to go Power Five, athletics wise. So this is a pretty big deal. Yeah, so Jake is going to be a long snapper at Florida State next fall. He's a consensus 5-star recruit. One service has him as the number one long snapper in the country, and he chose Florida State over Virginia, Arizona State, and UNC Charlotte. So he's going to be a preferred walk-on there, which is pretty usual for special teamers at a college level. But he's going to have a really good chance to start. And you know, I think, take your usual football fan, you're only going to notice a long snapper when they mess up. You know, there's that horror sequence where the punt goes over the punter's head into the end
I was
zone
going
for
to
a
say,
safety.
Florida
And
State has a real interesting special teams history, too. So
yeah,
he's
exactly.
important.
So yeah, that'll be an interesting spot, really high pressure spot. But I think that's kind of what to me makes his story so commendable, is that this is such a high pressure spot where your mistakes are just magnified so much more than, you know, your standard linebacker or tight end, something like that. So it's a really interesting, unique position. But he's really carved himself out a niche for it, and he's really only long snapped seriously for about 3 years now, I want to say. So it's been a pretty quick turnaround.
Wow.
But yeah, he made the most of it really quick. His dad was a long snapper in college as well at Delaware, so I think that helped. But
Yeah, I was going to say, what was his background before? Because you got to, I mean, that's a special talent to have to develop in just 3 years. He had to have something going in too, right?
yeah, I think it came down to kind of learning by osmosis. You know, like I said, his dad was a long snapper at Delaware, so whenever Jake and his little brothers are out, you know, tossing the football in the yard like usual, his dad is also having them, you know, get down and snap a ball 15 yards. So he's been doing that since like age 4, 5, 6. You know, whenever you're tossing the football, you get a few snaps in, and
Nice.
that kind of helped him. And I think he kind of just fell into the position by virtue of need. You know, I think the position was pretty open, and there was one other person who was trying to be the long snapper for the JV team his freshman year at Northwood, and he kind of realized like, hey, I can do that. So he started on the JV team and went up to varsity because of an injury to their long snapper about 3, 4 games in, and he's been on varsity ever since. And that's kind of how the position works. You know, if there's an injury, that there's really one person to replace it at a long snapper position. It's a very thin position, just like, you know, quarterback, kicker, punter. It's very specialized. So you have to stay ready. And I think that's what he's planning on at Florida State. He seems ready to embrace the challenge and the pressure of Power Five long snapping, which is no joke.
Other sports stories going on that you're following right now?
Yeah, when we last talked, the NCHSA was just allowing teams to get back to workouts, and that's a lot of news on that front. You know, we're just under 2 months away from the start of the new high school sports season, which is crazy to say. We got cross country starting in mid-November. Same with swimming and diving. Obviously, football has moved to the spring. That's been the biggest change. Basketball in January, February. So I'm excited to actually get out to some events. I'm not sure how much I'm going to be able to cover them and to what degree. But I'm excited to have something to do outside of my house safely, of course. So that's been the biggest one. And then the workouts continue to be an ongoing development all across the state. You know, here in Chatham County, we did 2 weeks of workouts. They went well. But the district decided to hold off on those once the Board of Education decided to go all remote with its learning. The logic there just being, you know, if kids aren't going to be on campus for classes, then we don't really think it's like fair. It almost seems hypocritical to have them back for workouts. And that was kind of the logic that a lot of districts followed. But both Wake County and Charlotte-Mecklenburg have now kind of walked that back. And I think in Wake County, October 1st, some schools are going to be able to start safe distance workouts with some of their teams. So I'm wondering if that affects Chatham at all, which is another story that I'm going to be interested in. There's a meeting tomorrow with the school board where they're probably going to decide, do they want to extend Plan B? Do they want to stay in Plan C? That type of stuff. So we'll see how it goes.
And again, get more news and sports coverage online at chathamnewsrecord.com. Chapel Fowler, thank you so much for being with us today, as always.
Yep, you got it, Aaron. Thanks so much. Appreciate your time.
And again, this has been the Chatham County Roundup, made possible by Weaver Street Realty, specializing in local real estate since 1982. Every story is set somewhere. Theirs is right here. And again, find them online at weaverstreetrealty.com.